Lord Jesus, you've ordained for us to assemble, to touch, to sit in heavenly places, and to touch the eternal by your Spirit anointing us, and remove burdens, and comfort, and teach, instruct, enlighten our minds, lead us in our faith, deliver us from the mundane, refresh us, renew our spirit, renew our mind. Maybe someone listening believes, like in the book of Acts, and Paul discerned they had faith to be healed, and he lifted them, and they were healed. And we are in the same world, Lord. We are in this world and in your world. We are in the Spirit, and we ask for the ministry of your Spirit to comfort, help us, enlighten us, renew us, encourage us in our faith, Lord, that we would hear and open our mouths and speak the mysteries of Christ as we ought to. In Christ's name. Pray also for our country, for a revival in the churches, a revival in schools, a revival on university campuses, a revival in the government, a revival in the governorships, revival on the streets, revival everywhere, God, draw people. We believe you for this, and heal our land. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, good evening. I have a picture frame here for an illustration I want to use in the message, so follow it with me. We are in Ecclesiastes, just for a brief few minutes, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verse 4. I'm not teaching this, so I'm just going to read it. One generation passes away, another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun rises, and the sun goes down and hastens to his place where he arose. This is chapter 1, verses 4 to 10. The wind goes where? To the south, and turns about unto the north. It whirls about continually. The wind returneth again according to his circuits. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full unto the place from whence the rivers come, whither they return again. They go. The way it works is the sea evaporation, the clouds come off the Pacific over California. As the air rises, the rain falls on the west side of the mountains, continues on, and so on. Then the rivers run back into the sea, and the whole thing is repeated. Verse 8, all things are full of labor. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing. Paycheck to paycheck, job to job, beltway, driving, work back home, work church back home, work back home, church back home, work, eating, sleeping, and the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that has been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Wait a minute. Is there anything new under the sun? There is no new thing under the sun. Verse 10. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It has been already of old time, which was before us. Can we say this is new? You can think of an automobile. They used to have horses. We have horses today, but we would travel by horse, and now we travel by automobile. Isn't that new? Not really. The physics of an automobile is the same as it's always been. Is there anything new? So now turn to the John 4. John, actually, 3, the Gospel of John, and chapter 3. Nicodemus and the famous story of Jesus meeting Nicodemus at night and telling him he must be born again. But Nicodemus did not understand that idea of being born again, and he said it, how can a man be born when he is old? In verse 4, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. Then he describes, the wind blows where it wants. You hear the sound, but cannot tell where it came from, nor where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit, born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered, verse 9, and said, how can these things be? How can these things be? This is a sentence that is said all the time in the world that we live in. How can it be? I don't believe it. I don't believe there is anything more than the circuits of the wind, the operations of life. I don't see it. Religion, I don't see that there's anything new. I cannot believe it. How can it be? And Jesus answered, verse 10, are you a master of Israel and know not these things? You're a professor of theology, a linguist, a rabbi, a teacher, a wise man, a student of the Bible, but you don't know this, the things of the Spirit, what the Spirit says, what the Spirit does inside a person, the new birth, the connection between this world and the next world, or this world and the unseen world. You do not know about it. So this is what Jesus is saying in John 3. Then in John 4, he meets a woman at the well, and I'd like you to turn there to chapter 4, and we will just explain this, and I hope it ministers to you. The woman at the well, write it down here. And then what she says, four things. And then Jesus says four things. Two, three. Chapter 4, verse 5. Then he comes to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. That means 12 noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. And saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. First thing here I want you to notice is the well. This is Jacob's well, Jacob's well. The woman went there on a regular basis. The woman knew the well. They needed water. Was everyday life. She probably went in the heat of the day so that she wouldn't meet other women there. Jesus knew this. Jesus went and sat there because he has something more to give her. And she says, you know, this well is given to our fathers. This is our frame, or I use this picture frame. This is my world. My world is this well, my home, my people. And this is how people live. But remember, Christ came into the world to give us more. What the world could never give us, because there's nothing new under the sun in this world except Christ. He is that new life. And not only are we believing in him at one point in our life, but we are actually living in the Spirit and learning, being renewed and refreshed. So he talked to the woman about another well. And this is the key to the story. If you ask me, he said to the woman, if you ask me, I would give you water and you would never thirst again. Look at verse 10. If you knew the gift of God, number one, who it is that says to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. But she's focused on this well here up on our screen. You don't have anything to draw with, and the well is very deep. And that's how people think about life. They live only in that frame that they are familiar with, that world that they are born in, and they say in their hearts, I am tired, I am wearied, the well is deep, I have to come here every day. But Christ shifts the story, and so do we as people that have seen and understood something that many people, even Nicodemus, did not understand. He said, how could these things be? I'm living all my life in a frame, in a religious frame. I grew up in a Christian home, somebody could say. A teenager could say, I've been to the Sunday school. I've been to the youth ministry. I've grown up in it. I know what it is. But do you? Do you know what it is to be comforted by Christ, spoken to by Christ, come alive by Christ? Do you know what it means to find another well, not made with hands, but a well that the world knows nothing about? Do you know that there is something new under the sun? That there is a reality that God brought to us, and it is the Son of God. It is God himself that has come into this world to give us something we didn't have. The second thing here is in the story is her marriage. And I'll put it here, marriage, and number five. The man she was with, she's been married five times, and now she has another man, the sixth one. What's the meaning of this? The meaning of this, in my opinion, when Christ talks to her about it, is that he's saying, I know you. I really know you. I'm not so far away that I cannot touch your life. And I cannot go into the good, the bad, the ugly. I know you. I know it all. I am you. You don't know who I am, but I'm going to tell you by the end of the passage here that I am the Messiah. This is what is needed when we talk to people. I want to encourage all of us in our lives, in our way of living, that have you seen something beyond the frame of your own life? Have you touched it, or are you like Nicodemus saying, how can these things be? There is no resurrection of the dead. When we bury somebody in the cemetery, it is over. There is no Bible that speaks to people. There is no word that comes from God. There is no comforter in this terrible, troubled world. I have not found any. I have just turned to my beer or my opioid or my addiction or my prescribed drugs, or I turn to the psychologist or to a club or a girlfriend, or I chase women, or I do any number of things because there isn't anything new under the sun. And Jesus says, I know you. I know all about it. And I love you. And I came to tell you something. I am Christ. Oh, you have no idea who I am. You have no idea what I can do on a Monday morning, on a Tuesday night. You have no idea how I can visit you on a Friday night when you are lonely and tempted. When you come close to me, draw near to me, when you find me, in a book that's written by a man of God or a woman of God by the Spirit of God, and when you read that book, your heart is on fire. You find me in reading the Gospel of John, and I talk to these people in the Gospel of John, and I draw them in faith and say that without faith you cannot please me, but if you come with a little bit, a mustard seed of faith, I'll show you what I'll do for you. Let's have Anu come up here and be my little. I got two more things to say here, but here he comes. Okay, so. All right, what's the meaning? He's in life. It's a frame. If something doesn't change, you could say there's nothing new there. It's same old, every day, in the Christian life too. Because we're Christians, that doesn't mean we have something automatic. We do have the Holy Spirit as our minister. We are filled with the Spirit, but I want to make a point. We are also human beings that have to put off the old man and put on the new. We are human beings where Jesus is kind of saying to us, do you believe me? Can you trust me? Do you realize who I am? Is there anything new under the sun according to this picture? There isn't. But is it so? In the story with the woman at the well, she was kind of stuck, and put here the third one because I think Anu can handle it. She goes, our temple in our worship, we are Samaritans. Jesus knows, and number two, he knows the woman's challenges in her five husbands and her pain and her hurt. We've said before that woman must have been somehow attractive or charming to have five husbands and then have another man, but there must have been something kind of wrong too, like something that drove the man away after a while. And he got rid of her, and that must have been painful for that woman. But when she met Jesus, she said, come and meet the man that knows everything about me. Come and meet the man who touched really, not just fooling around, but he is the answer. He is the Christ. Come and meet him. Have you met him? Can you share it with people in the highways and byways of life? Can we open our mouth and say, believe me, it's not what you think. It's a lot better. It's a lot better. She's talked about temple worship. Jesus said, the Father seeks such to worship him in spirit and truth. He talked about real worship. Let's go. Now, come on. Jesus says, here I am. I want to show you who I am. Come on. That's all. There's another dimension. That's all. Is there? Is Anu alive? How? What about the world that we live in? It is a real thing. Our taxes, the grave, the heart, the pain, the trouble that the woman has, but she has more, doesn't she? Is there something new under the sun? Christ is. Think about it. Every day you are tempted to say, there is not anything for me, then be corrected by the Gospel of John, because everything in this Gospel is saying to you and I that he is the transcendent Christ, the Christ that came in. No man, he said it to Nicodemus, no man has ascended up to heaven but the Son of Man who is in heaven. I am here. I am the present reality. The fourth thing that the woman said is that I have heard that the Messiah is coming. And he said, he that speaks to you is he. I am he. I am he. What did we find when we came to Christ? Go through the short list. There's another well that the world doesn't know about, and he gives to us. Number two, he knows you. He knows you and I. Number three, we are now worshipers. Wherever you go, put us in any direction, we are worshipers. Doesn't matter where we face. Doesn't matter if we are looking down or looking up or east or west. We are worshipers because this is worship in the Spirit. And God seeks us to worship him. Like Anu coming through the frame and like saying like we do, we say, I am alive. You cannot frame my life and put it in a frame when we have Christ in our life. You cannot limit us by our failure. Our failure cannot frame our life. Our bad, poor identity and self-image cannot frame our life. We came out. The tomb could not frame Lazarus' life. He came out of the tomb. Nicodemus, are you a teacher in Israel, and you don't know the things that God has prepared for those that follow him and trust him? Thirdly, we are the worshipers, and then fourthly, he is the Messiah. Let's stop here and finish the message. I believe our country is at a very interesting place with a lot of ungodly and unrighteous leadership that is seen in the media, in places of government and leadership and professorships on university campuses, in all kinds of areas in Hollywood and celebrityism and everything. And it's okay. That's okay if you've come beyond the frame and you have a life like Jesus. Jesus was in a hard country. Jesus was in a country that rejected him, resisted him, fought against him. But they couldn't stop his miracles, his teaching, his authority. They could not stop it. In the same way, we are like living beyond the boredom of everyday life, driving the beltway. We are driving it with joy in our hearts because we have seen Christ. We are beyond complaining. We are praising. We are singing. We are beyond analyzing the conditions of life and where we are at in history. We are here, but we are way beyond. We are messengers, ambassadors. We have a message. Do you have a message? Can you share your faith? Can you talk about Jesus? Can you use his name? Can you share and say, I have seen. I have seen. I believe. I have a word for you. I was thinking if I was living every day in the world, kind of like you would at work and everything, I think I might have a proverb, like prepared in my pocket every day in a card. And I might pull out a proverb from the Bible and say to my working colleague, I have a proverb for you today. I have something to read to you. And I was thinking, which one would I use if I went to work today in a place? And it would be, he that digs a pit will fall into it. And I say, that's a proverb from Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I would say, be careful that you don't dig a pit and fall into it yourself. Or you break down a wall and a serpent will bite you. Oh, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked. I have something to say about it. What are we saying? We are in a world that is kind of frozen in a frame, and they say there's nothing new. But we have the gospel. We have the forgiveness of sin. We have the mercy of God. We have the grace of God. We have the doctrine of imputed righteousness. And I believe all you folks understand that doctrine. You are imputed with righteousness. You've been made righteous by the grace of God. Instantly, the moment you believe, you are saved by his grace. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. People need him. And we are here for this reason. So let us pray as a church that God will fill these chairs, that God will bless our convention. By the way, a week from Friday is a dinner for Bible College, MBCNS, all graduates, all past postgraduates, all teachers, all family members. Tickets are for sale online. And it'll be a beautiful time together in the family center, and you are welcome. There's so many things that are going on in our church, and just to bring somebody and maybe I'll pray about this message tonight. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, some of us are looking for the freshness of being a soul winner. Some of us are looking to you in prayer that worldwide, all of our ministries around the world, all of us would realize the importance of this story, because people are caught in a trap called life. And you come along the way and speak a word in season. You come along and we are born again. Nicodemus is there in unbelief. How can this be? How can this be? And we are saying it is as God said. It is so. It is as God has said. It is so. It is. How do you know so? I heard it in the church. I heard it in my Bible. I heard it from the woman at the well. I heard it from the centurion who saw Christ crucified. I heard it from the disciples who said the tomb is empty, and the angels that were standing by. We heard it from the throne. Christ ascended on high and sent his Holy Spirit to teach us and lead us in the truth. We have heard it. We have believed it. We have embraced it, and we have been set free in our spirit. Thank you, God. Bless our families in the faith, all the teenagers. They need to find the way to come out of the reality of it, that there's something absolutely beyond GGCA and GGWO and any other thing, Baptist or any other title or name. This is nothing less than Christ himself, a name above every name that is named. A name that is above everything, and we are called by that name. I found your word, and I ate it, and it was a joy and rejoicing unto me, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God. Nothing less. Thank you, Jesus. This is sacred. Bless our convention coming up in June with a supernatural blessing from heaven. And every time we assemble in your name and we fear you, well, we speak often one to another, and it's written in a book, and you call us your jewels. We are precious in the eyes of God. We are called. We are called. We are God's anointed. We have your name. We have a divine purpose in this world. May you open our mouth so that we could speak as we ought to make known the things that are unknown by Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. One other prayer. If you're here tonight and you don't have Jesus, start tonight. Say to Jesus, I believe in you. I put my trust in you. Save me. Wash my sin away. Come into my heart. Bless the Bible study in Northeast Maryland, Elkton, Maryland, Wilmington, bless in Frederick, Havre de Grace, bless Lord, Silver Spring, and all through the country. In Christ's name, amen.